And it just goes into some of the other stuff that he was involved in.
See, I didn't realize. I'm sorry to hear. I didn't realize he passed recently. Okay.
Yeah, so he passed last July, 2015. And so that's what kind of made me do a little more research on the internet, just to see, because from what doctors said, he was developing signs of dementia, so he didn't remember a lot. And if you want to take a look at his obituary. So my father, pretty much, he was like, from what I can remember, you know, coming up being young, he always instilled in the importance of having an education. He always said to me, people can take away whatever you have. They can take away material things. They can strip the clothes off your back, whatever. But one thing they cannot take from you is your education. Once you have that knowledge, there's nothing they can do with it. And so he just pretty much instilled the value and the importance of having an education and to stand up for what was right. Stand up for your people, serving your people, people who were forgotten about, people who weren't able to use their own voices, people who were afraid. That was very, very important to him. I don't even know how I can stress that enough. He's always believed in fighting for people of color, period. I remember one time in elementary school, I went to Thompson in D.C., and it wasn't my neighborhood school. Like, the neighborhood school, I think, was Scott Montgomery or Seton. He transferred me. My father was known for, like, I think back in those days, it was, you had to get special permission or something. And so he transferred me. He said, because you're not going to go to an average school. You're going to go where there's diversity and where things are going on in the school besides neighborhood things. And so, again, that was just instilling the value of importance. The same thing in junior high. He transferred me. The neighborhood school was Shaw. I got sent to Jefferson because the test scores were higher. So all throughout my life, it was just about the value of education and just always fighting for what, you know, fight for what you believe in. And always, always fight for the rights of people who can't speak or those who don't want to speak or however. His father was a lawyer, Harvey Booker. My dream is to become a lawyer. So, I mean, it's...
So if you don't mind me asking, what year were you born?
1980.
And did you grow... What neighborhood in D.C. did you grow up in?
We lived on 7th Street, right there, 7th and O, right there. It's, I don't know if it's a new name for it now, but that's like the Shaw area.
Right by the O Street Market.
Right. So, that's pretty much where, that's where I grew up when I lived with my father. His mother, which is my grandmother, they had a house up on, Luray Place. It's like around, it's by Howard University, but it's like going a little up. So,
like more towards Petworth or?
Not that far. Like, you know what Georgian Park Road is? That area used to be called 640. So, like, going around there, like Water Street in that area right there. So, that's pretty much where we grew, that was the family house, and we end up moving down to 7th and O. And so we were there for some years.
And do you know what brought your father to Washington? Because he was originally from Philly.
I believe where my grandmother ended up coming here. So, and she got married. So that's how he ended up here in D.C.
Oh, wow. He went to Bowen Elementary.
Yeah. Okay. And he made that known, Anthony Bowen.
And what's interesting, actually, is in here they explain that the home that he moved to in Southwest was bulldozed for urban renewal.
And I don't even think I was thought of at that point.
Yeah, no, this was like in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And then they moved to,
Luray Place.
And so do you know how he got connected to the Brookland neighborhood? Was he...
I'm not sure how he got connected to the Brookline neighborhood, because when you called me, it was actually kind of new to me a little bit about the Brookline neighborhood.
Okay.
I'm not sure how that connection was made, because I think that was the first time I probably heard about the Brookline neighborhood and him being affiliated with it. So that was a little surprising, and it was like, oh wow, it's another piece of information that I didn't know about. So yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe my guess is, since I'm hearing and I'm learning about his story, my guess is he probably got connected to the organization called Emergency Committee on the Transportation Crisis,
okay.
which the main people in that organization were from Brookland, because Brooklyn was going to be hit by, where a lot of homes were going to be demolished for the construction of the North Central Freeway. So a lot of the people were Brookland people, but it wasn't exclusively Brookland people, because later on, before Marion Barry became well known, he was a part of that organization. So there was a number of people who didn't live in Brookland
mm-hmm.
who became involved in that fight, because you know it was going to affect a big, huge part of the city.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's probably a good link, because mm-hmm. that's the first time that I've heard of him being connected to the Brookland area.
And here, oh yeah.
And I believe, I'm not sure if it's WETA or PBS. They were doing, I don't know, I don't remember the name of the segment. They were doing, I think they were doing a special on, I think it was
60s?
About politics or something back in the day
mm-hmm.
in D.C.
Yeah, that was
WETA.
Yeah.
And they did a piece, it was a piece on him in that segment.
Mm.
I don't know the name of it, though. I don't know the name of, like, whatever the special was.
So when you were coming up, what kind of work was he doing?
So when I was coming up, from what I can remember, he was working for an organization called the United Black Fund. They have a office here on MLK.
Okay, yeah.
At the time, I think the director was Calvin Rolock. His daughter is Denise Rolock Barnes, who's, I think she's the editor of the Washington Informer.
Mm-hmm.
So he was working for that organization. That's as far back as I can remember, because I was in elementary school. So he was working for that organization. During that time, he also ran for the school board in D.C. I don't remember the year. I was in junior high school. He ran for the school board in D.C. He was defeated, though. I don't know what year that was. Mm. But, yeah, he was working for the United Black Fund. Mm. And because he worked there a long time. And then after that, I think he branched off and started doing his own, like, consulting or something like that.
Mm.
Oh, and then he went to... it's called NAFCA, the National Association of Former Foster Care Children of America.
Hmm.
And then that was it, and I think he retired.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I remember he worked for the United Black Fund.
Hmm. So when did you become aware of the work? I mean, would he ever tell stories about back in the day, 60s, 70s, or was it, how did you find out?
Like,
about
how did
the
I begin to
that,
understand?
Yeah. Do you remember? Was that later on, after you started doing your own research, or?
No, it was pretty much, I mean, I just thought it was, that's just my father. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
That's just how it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was always going to community meetings, and I'm just like, oh, that's just what he does.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was, you know, younger, like maybe mm-hmm. elementary school. Then I think around junior high school, that's when I started to realize that it was, you know, a bit deeper than, oh, you know, this is my dad. Because like I said, he ran for the school board. And so he was doing a lot of campaigning
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So it was more so like, I think I was becoming more aware at that point. And it was just like, it was normal to me because, well, the campaigning portion wasn't, but the other part of it was normal to me because it was just like, whatever, this is what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, it just became a little different when he started campaigning because he would tell me, you know, you might get reporters coming up to your school, you know, don't answer questions and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? But so that's when it became a little more like, oh, okay, like as I got older. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was just like, that's just who my father is. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was normal life.
Were there people... do you remember if he had particular friends that he was close with that he also did that kind of work with, or
he was close with Mary and Barry? They were good friends. And I don't want to start naming politicians saying they were friends, because he used to always tell me, in politics you have no permanent friends and no permanent enemies. I'd say he was very close with he became close with Carol Schwartz. He became close with Jim Graham. But Mary and Barry was one of the ones that he particularly talked about and, you know, uplifted his name anytime he spoke about him. So I think Mary and Barry, I would say that was a friend. But he was close with a lot of other people. I think he was close with Walter Fauntroy. But again, friend thing. I know Marion Barry was his friend. So those were some of the names that I've heard. And we went out to dinner a lot of times with him. But again, I was young, so it was like, oh, okay. I mean, that's Marion Barry. Who cares? Like, whatever. And when he was working for the United Black Fund, it was, and I think at the time, Sharon Pratt Kelly might have been mayor. And, you know, I'd go there to his office after school, and she would come in and chit-chat, and I'm like, oh, hey. But I was kind of used to it because I was like, whatever, this is what happens. Like, you know, the mayor may come in or whatever. So I didn't really, like, oh, like, you know, can I get your order? Because it was just, it was always like that. He knew a lot of people.
When he passed, because I've had this experience, and I know other people who have, when a family member passes and people come out of the woodwork, and I'm just wondering if you got a new understanding of kind of his impact on many communities at the time of his passing, and maybe, you know, his memorial. Did you already have a sense of impact?
I think I already had a sense of, you know, some of the work that he did, and a sense of what his vision and his mission was before he left Earth. So it was, you know, I was already, you know, aware. I'm not aware of all of his work across the board, but I was aware that when he passed, of course, you know, it was heartbreaking or whatever. But when he passed, I just made this vow to myself that I would never let his legacy die, and, you know, continue, maybe not where he left off, but just continue in that path of standing up for injustices and fighting for people of color and things like that. So when he passed, I was aware of, you know, the things that he was doing with his life. And stuff like that.
Well, it's a beautiful this is a beautiful, you know.
Thank you. You can actually have that copy if you
want. Really?
Yeah,
I would love that. There's a lot of detail. Who wrote, do you know
what's his name? You want the person who did it?
His
name is Christopher Austin.
And he wrote the text? Or you mean he designed this?
Well, he designed it, and Christopher Austin, yeah.
And do you know who did the writing of all the text?
Well, I think we all put in something, like the family or whatever. But he did the designs. And it was some, as a matter of fact, I used to go to the Martin Luther King Library, and I came across, before you go into the, I think it's the Washingtonian, they have displays on the outside. And so I came across some of his pictures and stuff on the wall, and I went in and talked to one of the librarians in there, and she happened to be a journalist, and I forgot her name, white woman. And I was like, you know, how do I get a copy of this, or do you all have articles? And she was asking me who, and I was like, Reginald Booker. And she was like, I know him. She was like, I interviewed him either in the late 60s or early 70s. And I was like, wow. So, yeah, they probably have some stuff at the Martin Luther King Library.
Yeah, we definitely have been spending some time there digging through.
Oh, okay.
The archives. We haven't necessarily found a whole... So, the organization, Emergency Committee on Transportation Crisis, they have some materials from that organization that were donated there. So it's like protest signs and things, but not as much detail as this about father's life.
So when you did the Google search, did you put in his name and put in Washington, D.C.? Because a lot of stuff came up. Sometimes it's different stuff that comes up, and I don't understand how. But some other stuff came up too, like different organizations that he was involved in, and it'll come up like Google, I mean, I guess newspaper articles that his name was listed in. So it's just a lot of, like, you would have to like really sit down, take maybe 3 or 4 days and spread all the stuff out just to see. But
No, we definitely did find a lot of stuff like that, but in terms of like a serious study of his life's work. No. Yeah, it's more articles and that mention him at the time, but kind of not after the fact, people reflecting on. Are there family members that he was particularly close with or know a lot about the work he did in the earlier years?
Probably his sister. He's the oldest, so probably his sister that's right under him, maybe.
Is that
Jamaris? No, Jamaris Booker.
Jamaris Booker, okay.
In what month next year do you all plan to debut it in a museum?
So the exhibit's going to open in September.
Oh, September, okay.
Yeah. And basically over the next 2 months we'll be finalizing the content. So do you or other family members that you're in touch with maybe have photographs or like did he, like what happened to, I don't know if he did, but a lot of folks keep documents and things. Do you know what happened to any of that
and
stuff?
See, when he passed, I well, when he was getting ill, I was asking, but no, but I don't think anybody had any photographs from what I was told, documenting his work and stuff. Because I pulled up some of the photographs that were on, like online. So I can ask, but I'm not sure because we were trying to get that. Get some photographs for his arrangements. So,
oh yeah, I see a few in here in the middle.
Yeah.
What I'm curious if you wouldn't mind sharing. Like some of your memories of what stand out about him to you, you know, you know, things or even sort of stories or values that you mentioned, educational piece, but if there are others that you carry with you now that kind of have stuck with you.
That the education piece was number one. My father was very strict. I don't know if it was because he was in the military or what, but he was very strict.
How so, in terms of?
I mean, he strict like I wanted to go outside before I did my homework, it was like, no, no, I don't care what the other kids are doing. You won't sit right here until you finish, you know, your homework or whatever. It was just, that education piece stuck out. And I used to get teased a lot in school about my name. And I would just, you know, I didn't tell them in the beginning because I was like, oh, I don't want to hear this whole speech. But, you know, I eventually told him or whatever. And he just gave me this whole story about how I'm African and, you know, we come from Africa. So we don't take the white man's name and be proud of your name. You know, pretty much instilling that be proud of your heritage and, you know, don't worry about what people think. And just, yeah, that's pretty much. But that education piece really, like, really stuck out because he didn't play when it came to the education because it was just that was a must. It was a must.
Did he tell you the story behind your name, like the specific name, or not necessarily? It was kind of just more broader, like representing heritage and.
Yeah, I think it was from what I learned and remember. It was just more broader of the heritage. He just wouldn't. I mean, no offense to anybody that may have a family member named Keisha or whoever, but names like that, he was just like. No. And it was just, that's just what he instilled, like, that's just it. He was just like pro-black, let's put it like that. He was very pro-black, and even times when, okay, I'm in elementary school, you know, kids get teased in school and kids are very mean. I have an afro. Like, why? Why do I have to have an afro? I want to get my hair pressed. Like, he's like, no. You know, so that was an issue because my mother was like, look, kids get teased in school. We not in the 60s. Like, this afro business can go. But yeah, he was very pro-black. He loved his people, and he made sure that his voice was heard, and he didn't care who didn't like it. He was willing to die for what he believed in, pretty much. And that's just, yeah, the bottom line.
Are there things that you would share about him to someone that never met him that would kind of represent who he was? To you, you know, not necessarily to people, to folks that he was working with, but in terms of like a family member, what was it about him that made him unique? And maybe you just answered some of that, but.
To me, and as I got older, like, I learned that I admired him because. You know, it was times when you could just shut up, sit back, and, you know, not say nothing about what was going on around you. But he chose to speak out. And when you speak out, you know, you create a lot of enemies. You create animosity. Yeah, you will have people that support you, but that stuck out to me. He was a brave black man. And it was just the point that, again... There are plenty of people who could have spoken out against injustices or against whatever he was fighting for, and they didn't. He did. So I really admire him for that. And that's something that I will never forget. Like, he did. Even when it's not popular for people to speak out for what they believe in, even when you go against the majority. And then not just being a politician... He was a leader, not going with, you know, the majority on, oh, we should do things this way. If he didn't like it, he said, no, this is not going to work. This is not going to satisfy these kids over here who live in whatever conditions. So that's what I admired about him. Like, speak up, make your voice heard. And that's pretty much, yeah.
Well, We appreciate you taking some time. And like I said, you know, over the next month and or two, we're going to be trying to gather as much material that we might be able to use in the exhibit. So if you think you might know family members, other folks who have photographs or anything kind of related to his work and his life, then definitely we would love, you know, to be in touch. And I mean, we definitely are planning probably to use some of these photographs in the exhibit and any others that we're able to track down.
And I'll try and do some research too, and possibly even contact WETA to see what they may have. I'm not sure. Maybe it's video footage. I don't know. Just to see if they have anything. And then I can let you guys know, or just keep you abreast if I find anything new. Because I really do appreciate the time that you all took to contact me. So what did you Google me or something? Yeah, Google is our friend nowadays sometimes. Because I know I Google myself sometimes just to see what pops up. And my whole address pops up. My home phone number. So, yeah. And I live right there on Alabama Avenue. So, I'll definitely keep in touch before things are finalized, just to see what else I can come up with.
And do you think it would be okay if we tried to reach out to Jermarish Booker?
You can, or I can reach out to her. Let me ask her first. Yeah, I'll ask her first and then let you all know. And yeah, I think that's, I think that'll, I wish I just had more pictures and stuff. But I'll reach out to her and then I'll do my own search and see what I come up with. Because like I said, the Brooklyn area era was kind of new for me when I heard about it. So I'll see what I can come up with.
I don't know if you happened to see the exhibit that we had up recently, which just came down a few weeks ago.